This is the Raywitch Roundtable, episode 16 for July 11th, 2009. Tranny DeBejo. Welcome to the 16th episode of the Raywitch Roundtable, the premier weekly podcast about Rare, Xbox, and the Raywitch Project forums. I'm Andre, your host, usually located in California, now living in Sandusky, but visiting Detroit, Michigan, staying at my girlfriend's house, Leanna Doe, Bright Eye 16.
How's it going?
Yeah, we're working at Cedar Point, if you haven't heard that, so I'm sure we'll talk a lot about that today. But also joining me is Gruntling Aaron Haslam from Mesa, Arizona.
Hello.
And once again, the wonderful Bottles 98, Larry Keller in Virginia Beach.
Hello.
I was totally expecting Bottles to make some really odd noise.
Yeah, that's what it usually does.
I know, I wanted to hear like a screaming turtle or something.
Bottles, can you do a screaming turtle?
I don't know if I can do a screaming turtle. I've never heard a turtle scream.
Alright. Our third news story this week is the official Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts soundtrack was released on Monday, I believe, and I think only Bottles was the only person to purchase it, but what did you think?
It's pretty good. The track selection is a bit strange. There's a lot of tracks from the game, but there are some that are not in there that you would expect, like the regular Spiral Mountain track, but they also have two songs that weren't used in the game that are in there for whatever reason.
What are they?
The Spiral Mountain Challenge song and the Final Battle version of Grunty's theme.
Oh, were those the ones that were supposed to be in but like didn't make it for whatever reason?
Yeah.
Like the glitch, yeah. Well, that's exciting, I guess. I don't know. I guess it's just we have all the stuff on the site anyway. Is the packaging nice, at least?
Yeah, it's pretty good. There's actually, in the liner notes, there's actually a render of Banjo in his post-game outfit, and he just looks fucking chill as hell.
Well, that's awesome. See, Gruntling and Leah, you guys don't really care, do you? You're like, oh, Banjo.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I would care if I had the game.
Yeah, how have you not bought the game by now?
I'm sorry, but it's like $20.
I have the demo.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah, see? We have demos.
Right. That's weak. Bottles is hardcore. Bottles, don't you have like 7 versions of the game?
No.
In like different languages so you can see if there's any differences?
No, but that does sound like the kind of thing I'd do.
Yes.
Yeah, he likes to play it in Japanese the best because the theme songs, you know, they sing in Japanese.
That'd be nice if there were words in Banjo, wouldn't there?
Yeah, that was a joke.
Moving on to the second news story this week. Rare is happy to have Peter Molyneux raising its profile. This was a story in Joystick. According to Steve McFarlane, art director for Rare, said that once we were bought out by Microsoft, obviously things have changed with the top ranks and stuff. And I think over the last few years, maybe the awareness of Rare has dropped. So basically Rare is saying that now that, you know, famous Peter Molyneux from Lionhead is there, Rare will become more popular. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I think we had something about this earlier on a previous podcast, but basically I'm kind of happy to, you know, hear Rare getting more prolific, you know, people hearing about it more because they really are too secretive. They're not really well known, I don't think. Not under Microsoft anyway, my opinion.
I always talk to people about Rare games and they're like, "What's that?" And I'm like, Banjo-Kazooie, Viva Pinata, there, and it's just like, when I talk about like the forums and stuff, it just, I feel like people should know about Rare, but they obviously don't. I don't know, I just, it'd be cool to see them like actually well known.
I don't know, I feel like it's just Rare, honestly, making an excuse. They're like, oh, we're not, people don't know us, but now they will. just think that's a little odd to think that Peter Molyneux is going to bring this like magical view that people will now know what Rare is.
You know, one thing they need to do is actually talk about the games they're working on. That would be nice.
Well, but here's the thing. If you know who Peter Molyneux is and why he's significant, then you know what Rare is, don't you think?
Well, isn't this more about like making Rare more prolific just for the casual gamers, the people that really don't pay that much attention to who the video game companies are?
Yeah, but that's not really what Peter Molyneux's done. He's always, I mean, Fable wasn't really for casual gamers. Black and White wasn't for casual gamers. He's more of a crazy, blow-your-mind type of person, like the Milo thing.
I'd like to say that on the article on that page that Banjo looks sexy in that picture.
Yeah, that's from the intro.
He looks like he's trying to seduce me.
Right. Well, that's the screen cap they constantly use. Why is that?
I don't know, but Fat they've got a pizza.
They do have a pizza.
He's like, give me some lovin' and I'll give you a slice.
Exactly. Anyway. our final news story, week two of Hell's Form. This week's challenge was called Turf Wars. Each of the contestants was split up into three teams, got to pick what they wanted their a sub form to be about, and then there was Red Team, which was Danny Trevajo, Ice Lightning, and Joseph. And I believe they picked music for their sub form thing, so that was just fantastic, because everyone loves music. And no one's thought of that idea before, so that was cool. I'm not endorsing anyone, I'm just talking. Minjo, Avarice, and Stephen Colbert, and they were blue team, and they picked movies. And green team was Ebenezer Icefail, Walrus, and Great Man. They made RWP Chan, which was, I believe, the idea was just pictures, right? The response portion was that they all got to talk about how they felt about each of the staff members, which is very interesting to read, really, except it sounded like most of them are just sucking up to us. Is there much we can really say? Because we're not allowed to, like, endorse people, are we?
That probably wouldn't be a good idea.
Hmm.
I don't think so. We kind of talked about Hell's Form last weekend, aside from not being recorded, that part, we decided it probably wasn't a good idea to talk about it, like who you think is going to win.
Right. But, well, what did you think of the challenge this week? I thought it was actually pretty cool to see how people reacted. And to be honest, they look all pretty even in terms of activity, which is cool.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I thought it was definitely an interesting idea. I would like to know what they're going to do next week, because it seems like it's hard to think of something new and challenging each week, you know?
Mm-hmm.
How are they going to choose the winner this week, do you know?
I thought it was just staff decision, right? Or based on the activity and their responses. This is less of a numbers game as the one last week.
To win the Turf Force challenge, they have to have the most active and well-maintained forum.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. They're all doing a pretty good job with it, I think.
The green team has the fewest threads, but
barely.
But barely, yeah.
It's going to be neck and neck.
That's awesome. I'm just reading what people have to say about me. And apparently, no one has an opinion about me. They're like, he's okay.
People said they like me, so I know they're lying.
Yeah. From what I know about him, sorry, I shouldn't read people's. He can be a fun person to be around. I want to see what they say about Cola. Cola never posts. No one even. Oh, poor Icy, no one cares about him either. That's okay. Okay, so I guess we'll just go ahead and move on to Formwatch this week. Who would like to go first?
I picked A Question Regarding the Toilet by YME123. Basically, he was wondering how often people flush because he only flushes after taking a shit.
And I think the pretty basic reaction was, what is wrong with you exactly?
Yeah, basically. Everyone else was like, we flush after every time we go to the bathroom.
What is wrong with you should have been the response from the moment he posted such a thread.
No, but the weird thing, he was like legitimately wondering, oh, everybody else doesn't do this? What are you talking about? What the hell? I'm sorry, I didn't read the rest of the thread. I'm reading on, and one of his posts says, I can piss upwards of 15 times a day. What?
He must have a weak bladder, jeez.
15 times?
That's like more than me.
That's like more than...
Three people combined.
That's like being really unhealthy.
Yeah, don't take a drug test. They'll think you're like trying to force some detox or something.
And you know this from experience. Cough. Okay. Well, thank you for that, Leah. Anybody else who would like to go next?
My thread this week is Games That Let You Down by Hardband. And, basically he's asking, what kind of games have disappointed you?
I think the obvious one is Nuts and Bolts, but whatever. I think that dead horse has been beaten.
A lot of people are saying Animal Crossing.
City Folk. Yeah.
I remember I bought that for you for Christmas. Did you, like, do you still, you don't ever play it, do you?
No, because it was the same thing as the other Animal Crossing games.
So would you say it was a letdown?
Yeah, because you'd expect something new or different. Anything.
It's too much of the same. They like hardly changed it at all.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk more about any Nintendo game ever. But
when I got my Wii, a couple months later, I bought a couple games for it, and what I did buy was like a new Sonic game, and that was really it was terrible, honestly. But I don't know. I guess I was expecting a little bit more because that was when the Wii was, like, newer and it wasn't, like, a known fact that the game sucked for it.
Which reminds me, one of the first Wii games I bought, do you guys remember Elebits?
Yeah.
I
thought that was disappointing because everyone said that it was, like, one of the greatest. It was so good. It was an amazing Wii game, and I just thought it was one of those Waggle Fest type games, you know?
Well, it got good reviews.
I know, that's what I'm saying. For me, it was a letdown. I just didn't enjoy it.
Then again, think of something like, say, Super Mario Galaxy. A lot of people were disappointed with that, and it got great reviews.
Well, yeah, but it was so easy. That's why it was so boring. Halo Wars is another one. Played that for a couple days, and then I was like, oh, it's another console real-time strategy game. Sucks. Just made me angry. Spent like $90 on the special edition. Yeah. Okay. That's cool. Who's left? Bottles. No. Yes, Bottles. What's your thread?
My thread is the sad truth of modern RWP posted by Rider on the Storm in Almost Anything Goes, and he talks about how 1 year ago he joined the site, and apparently he thinks it's gotten worse and worse in that 1 year because of new people. And I wanted to point out that July 2008 kind of counts as modern RWP because it's only a year ago.
Yep.
And not to mention, we get one of these threads like every 3 months.
Yes, exactly. And I mean, we've talked about this like privately, not on the show or anything, but like the problem is that when you're new, you think, oh, it's so fun, and really you're the one that's the noob, and everybody else is like, wow, this person is stupid. But once you become one of them, you're like, oh, all these other noobs are stupid.
The thread is also full of people saying, oh man, I hope I'm not a noob. Always great.
Right. And then Banjo's Banjo made this ridiculous post that is amazing but also makes no sense. So, yeah. Okay. My thread, Cedar Point by Alakazam, I believe. Let me check because I don't remember. Alakazam.
It was
Alakazam and Anything Goes. he was basically talking about how Leah and I worked there, and yeah, and how he was going on July 4th, which we both worked, and was a blast.
Yeah, only because we didn't have to close.
Yeah, the park closed at 1 a.m. that day.
No, well, yeah, and which means we would have had to work till at least 2 a.m.
Right. So, I don't know. Basically, what's going on right now is we're trying to organize a mini Rare Witch Project meetup. So, we've got Gray definitely looks like he's going to go, and this would be around, like, the middle of August, and Alakazam lives in Toledo, so he'd be willing to go as well. So, if you're in the area, go post in that thread.
Or PM one of us.
Yeah. I don't know. Basically, I was going to use this thread for us to talk about working there, because, like, there's really no way to describe working at Cedar Point. It's insane. Like, the amount of shit that we have to deal with and all that stuff.
Yep. So, tell me something, guys. So, like, because I don't know where exactly Cedar Point is located, but you guys are in Detroit, Michigan, right?
At this time, yeah. Cedar Point's in Sandusky, Ohio, which is, like,
2.5 hours south.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty long commute each day.
Live there.
You live in Sandusky, yeah.
You thought we lived here?
Well, I don't know.
No,
Groundling.
Today's our day off, so we drove over last night, and we're going to leave tomorrow morning because we start work at 1:30 p.m. tomorrow.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah, no, that would not be good. Which, let me just talk about, living there is not pleasant. It's only $16 a week, but I've talked about this before. It's just like a couple days ago I went into the showers, obviously communal showers, and there was poop on the floor of the shower. So.
That's pretty disgusting.
Yeah, it was not pleasant, you know. It's just not...
It kind of, like, makes you wonder, why would somebody do that? That's got to be pretty...
Well, where I live, it's the, like, the cheapest area or whatever. It's where all the international people live. So something tells me that they just don't understand that you don't poop on the floor of the shower. There's, like, a couple days ago, there was a random Japanese film crew that came in, so we had to go there at 7 o'clock and run the ride. We still don't know what it was about, though.
There's like another guy in like the dorms that we live in that speaks English, and that's about it. Like, yeah. We saw a white guy the other day, and we were like, "Oh my god!"
It really is pretty. It's pretty funny.
But oh, we should tell him about that fire drill we had.
Yeah.
So, like, go ahead. Last week. There was a fire drill. Like, when there's a fire drill, everyone has to leave, and it takes forever because it's, like, a big building. They have to make sure everyone's out. So it's, like, 10:30 at night, and we're standing outside, and we're like, whatever, that was annoying. And we go to bed eventually, and then at 2:30 in the morning, we hear it again. And
2:30 in the morning.
Yeah, and, like, you're not supposed to really live with your – girls are not supposed to live in the dorms, so we were like afraid to like go with the drill because I'd obviously been like sleeping, and so we like hid in the dorms, and like the people in charge like came in around to the dorms, like knocked on the door to see if you were inside, and then we were like scared that maybe it was like a real drill, so we were all gonna like burn to death. And then like the guy next door like hid from it because he like didn't want to get up, and then when they knocked on the door, he was dumb enough to like open the door and get yelled at.
Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting working there. And, like, again, I think I've talked about this. I work on a ride, Top Thrill Dragster, which is the tallest and fastest operating roller coaster right now. But, like, you know, one of the things, if you've ever been to an amusement park, you know that you sit there and you have to talk about the ride. Like, I'll just do it right now. Leah, you can plug your ears because I'm sure she's sick of hearing it. But I've been talking in my sleep. In my sleep. Saying like, this.
Oh god.
But I'll do it right now. All right. Are you guys ready?
I'm ready.
Boy.
riders on the platform. Due to the nature of this ride, any and all loose articles such as cell phones, wallets, and keys must be safely secured in a cargo pocket before riding, and hats must go down your shirt. Oncoming riders, welcome to Top Note Director. When the train comes to a complete stop and the gates have opened, please move quickly but carefully down to your seat. Sit down and buckle your black seatbelt and pull on your red strap. But please do not push down your yellow lap bar. Once again, do not push down your yellow lap bar. We will be taking you 420 feet in the sky, reaching speeds of 120 miles per hour in just 3.8 seconds. You're going to go 90 degrees straight up, crest the hill, and then take a 207-degree twist down to the ground in just 17 seconds. Red train in the front, are you guys ready to go?
Woo!
You, blue train in the back, are you guys ready to go?
No! Yes.
You are clear and out of here. Enjoy your race to the sky on top thrill, Dragster.
Okay, yeah, except for... Okay... The first night I slept over at Andre's dorm in the middle of the night, I was woken up by him doing this. And I was like, Andre, you're talking in your sleep. And he was like, what? No, I'm not. Go back to bed. I'm not talking in my sleep. Just go back to bed. And I was like, okay. And then, like, I was like, maybe he was practicing. And so, like, the next day we woke up, I was like, you were talking in your sleep last night. And he was like, what are you talking about? So,
yeah, I've been doing this a few times now.
It's annoying.
I can see how that would get old. How many times a day would you say you have to do that?
Well, it depends, because you rotate. There's 11 different positions, but there's two where you have to talk. So I'd say, let's say I do that twice, I'd probably be saying it about 40 times.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but again, it all depends.
He has to say it so often, I feel like I memorized it.
Yeah, it's not fun. But other than that, it's cool. I mean, you live and work in an amusement park, so on your days off and breaks, whatever, you can go ride stuff. That's cool.
Yesterday, I saw... Okay, we have, like, some rules as employees, and one of the rules is you can only be seen in your uniform drinking water, and you can't be seen eating food or drinking anything but water in front of guests. And I legitimately saw this woman who, like, had a first year of service tag on in her uniform sitting eating nachos. I want to be like, you know, you're not supposed to do that. But she was old, and I looked like she'd, like, spit her old teeth on me or something.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, there you go. That's Cedar Point. But, again, we're trying to organize a get-together, which would be pretty cool. So that's Four Mosh this week. We're going to move on now to virtual high fives, which I've stolen from Gray for this week because he's off kayaking or some bullshit. Who
knows?
Is
that what he calls it?
Yes.
Even though I see him right now and he just said something in the conversation, but
yeah, so he's a liar, but whatever. Okay. I've never done this, so let's see how it goes. Virtual high five for Grant Kirkhope for turning 47 years old.
Woo!
Congrats.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, and I've learned how to say your name, so that's good.
R.W. Punch.
R.W. Punch, indeed. Virtual high five for Nature Girl for making a very retarded hottest member contest that's co-ed in a 99% guys form. And the results reflect that pretty well, I think.
Yeah.
It's RCV and Nature Girl. That's exciting, I guess, for them.
I love my 12-year-old hot pussy.
Well, to be fair, she's 15 now.
Who?
So she's almost legal.
Almost.
RCB. Almost. Oh. But not really. Okay. Virtual high five for Michael Jackson for being a child molesting drug addict who dangled a child out of a window but still got a heavenly church choir to sing as his golden casket was worshipped.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Congrats for him. I guess that's still exciting.
Not I don't know. Else. The golden casket thing just... Like, he's not Martin Luther King Jr., and that's, like, how the people spoke about him. Like, it was, like, I don't know.
And
I mean,
you guys watch it?
I'm a huge fan of MJ, and I think his music was great, but they celebrate it like he was Jesus or, like, a prophet.
He wasn't?
No. I forgot. He's God.
Right. Okay, anyway. Virtual high five for Tanjo for pretending that he didn't care when he got owned on House Forum. Congrats, Tanjo. You just keep on winning. Not much to say about that. So I'm glad he got eliminated, but whatever. Virtual high five for Dan for winning some Guitar Hero contest. Virtual high five for 1 vs 100 for actually being useful now and offering prizes for people that win.
That's exciting. I'm excited.
Bottles, you're coming today, right?
Sure.
Bottles promised he is coming to 1 vs 100. Yeah. Okay. And virtual high five for Morgan Freeman for divorcing his wife to marry his step-granddaughter who is 50 years younger than him.
Ugh, that's just...
I did not make that. That is real.
How are you attracted to wrinkles like that?
Well, it's Morgan Freeman.
You got money.
It's Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, I know. She's only got to wait like 10 years and then she's rich.
Yeah. Wow, that was terrible.
I don't know. Are wrinkles like super bad wrinkles worth that much money? Like, how would you deal with that? I guess Anna Nicole Smith got it. Like, hers was way worse, though.
Yeah, I think in the end she lost that battle, but whatever.
Oh, God. He was ugly.
No, I mean, she kind of died.
Oh, I know. Well, that's what happens when you marry for rich. Karma.
Hey, look at this picture. I don't know if you've seen a picture of them. Have you seen a picture of them together?
No, I can't imagine it's good.
I just posted
the
link.
Oh, my God!
I told you.
She looks like a 12-year-old.
She does look like she's 12.
No, according to the article I read, she was like 17 when they started, like, doing things.
And that's his step-granddaughter?
Yes.
That's just disgusting.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. And Ice Mario says, my hat goes off to him. I guess, whatever. If she, never mind. Virtual high five for Bruno for being even more fucked up than Borat, but still hilarious. Yeah, we saw that last night. If you're going to see it, just going to say there's a lot of penis.
Yeah, this girl that we went to high school with got up and walked out, like, in the beginning of the movie because she just couldn't take it. She just got up and left. But it was... He does, like, you see lots of dick. And, like, the part where after she walked out of was him, like, dancing. It was just, like, a dancing penis.
For about a minute.
He was, like, flailing it around, and it was going, like, in circles, and then it was going up and down. It was just the weirdest thing.
Yeah. Movie was still very so.
I thought Borat was pretty bad, too, especially that whole, like, fight scene with the fat guy.
Oh, no. But the thing is, like, that's... You're right. That was one part of Borat, but that's everywhere in Bruno.
It's, like, the whole...
That's what I'm saying.
Nudity and, like, just... It really exploits, like, gay lifestyling.
It's funny.
Yeah.
But there's, like, a part with a swingers party, and they actually show them having sex for, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's, like, it's that would suck if they were... Like, that would suck if you were at a swingers party and then Bruno came, because now everyone knows that you're basically a whore.
Yeah. Okay, and finally, a virtual high five for Princess J for visiting Cedar Point without even knowing that we worked here.
Yep.
Congrats, I suppose. That was kind of a lame one to end it on, but whatever. We'll deal. We're going to move on to the email this week. It's from Danny Trabajo, who writes a very simple email. What are your favorite games of this generation, console or handheld? Let's start with Leah. What are your favorite games of this generation?
I don't know. I'd have to go with my first love with World of Warcraft.
Fail.
But since I don't play that anymore and I'm more casual, I'd have to say Peggle, which is not console or handheld, but on PC.
Peggle, honestly, one of just genius games in general, but I wouldn't list it on the top.
Fine.
Just saying. How about you, Grantling?
There really hasn't been too many games that I've really liked this generation. But just for the sake of it, I'm going to say I really enjoyed Twilight Princess. I'd say that was probably one of my favorite games. So far.
Bottles. If you say nuts and bolts.
I'm just going to pick a boring, generic answer just to get it over with. And I'm going to I'm going to say Brawl only because I spent like 60 hours straight playing it when it came out.
Brawl. Fail.
I'd have to honestly go with Halo 3 only because I just played it so much and enjoyed it and everything. So that was cool. I don't know. I mean, I feel like this generation I didn't really game as much as I did on the GameCube and original Xbox, but I would probably still say Halo 3.
I don't think this generation has been there hasn't been that many really memorable games for like any console. I really can't think of anything that's really stood out, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, I really enjoyed GTA 4, and even though I really wasn't into the games before it, I thought that was a very cool game.
Yeah, I saw this thing. It was like the top games of 2008. I don't remember what website it was, but it said that GTA 4 was the best one.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was more of a story-driven game, which is, again, not something that I normally do, but it was cool.
Yeah, okay. But I don't know how trusting, or, like, I don't know if I can go by that list very much because it also had Lego Batman on the list.
Yeah, the Lego games.
Yeah, so.
That's it for this episode of the Rarewood Roundtable. As always, I'd like to thank the entire team for talking with me today and Gold Shinjo for composing our theme. Please send us your questions, comments, and concerns to our email address, podcast@rarewoodproject.com. If we read your email on the show, you'll get a special forms trophy that can only be won by having your email read or being on the show. Also, please subscribe and review it on iTunes. This recording may not be redistributed or broadcast without the expressed written consent of the Rarewood Project and is intended for private use only, copyright 2009. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week. This week's challenge was called Turf Wars. Each of the contestants was split up into three teams, got to pick what they wanted a sub-form to be about, and then, you know, they picked a topic. There was Red Team, which was Tranny. Danny Trevajo, Ice Lightning, and Joseph. We're going to move on to our email this week. It's from Tranny. All right, that's the title of the episode. Tranny Debajo. Debajo, whatever.
Oh, my God.
All right, 3, 2, 1. We're going to move on to the email this week. It's from Danny
Trevajo.
3, 2, 1. We're going to move on to the email segment this week. It's from Danny Trevajo.
Oh, God. Trabajo.
It's like Kirkhope all over again. All right. 3, 2, 1. We're going to move on to the email this week. It's from Danny Trabajo.